This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loika Mania. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a very special episode of Loika Mania. This is not an after-school special episode, though, because this is one of those episodes where we kind of talk about something that's going on in the comics biz. And today I am joined by my usual partner in crime, who I pretty much can call the co-host of the show, Adam Witt. Adam,
what are you doing? It's official now. Woo!
You're part of the revolving co-host, but you have been revolved in more than out, I guess. I don't know what else to say. Welcome back. And we're here to talk about a specific topic, something that everyone's been talking about. And then we kind of waited a bit, wanted to see all the titles announced, and we wanted to see kind of what the lay of the land is as far as the DC universe is concerned before we started talking about it. And we're talking about the DC reboot / relaunch, which as time progresses, we're finding out it's really becoming more and more of a they basically one more day to the DC universe.
Nobody has any wives, and Satan is the only thing that matters.
Well, Satan always mattered, even before. But
I think Satan was writing a lot of the DC books.
Yeah, but we have Scott LaBelle instead. I wanted to say this. I think it's a great idea that they're rebooting from number one. I think you have the potential to gain a lot of new readers.
And it seems to me like their angle is that they're going for I think they're really going for kids. I think this is really – they're trying to open up and really be welcoming and try to, you know, start up new things and reach a new a completely new audience. And I think that's really bold.
I agree. It's bold and it's commendable. I'm sorry. You were saying something.
You're good. I was going to ask, though, do you think that – this is serving to alienate the readers they have already?
Well, here's the thing. Those readers, regardless of what you hear, regardless of what you see online, the chatter online, they're still going to buy the books they want to buy.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled, because those same people are still buying those books, because those same people have been buying the books for God knows how many years. I mean, and DC, I think, is taking a leap of faith that their longtime readers will trust them, because in the end, if the stories are good, it really shouldn't matter what happens, what the continuity or what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's easy to do a DC universe without having to without being self-referential, and yet still say that all that other stuff still happened. You can still do that. You don't have to outright say everything that you read still matters. Because in the end, the only thing that matters is that you read the stories and you liked them and enjoyed them. But continuity shouldn't be something that it shouldn't be considered like a bad thing. It shouldn't be considered as the most important thing. It's all about storytelling, and it's all about making the best story you could possibly make in these 22 or 32 pages that you have in your hands. And if DC concentrates on telling good stories in every issue of these books, I think they're going to do fine. And, you know, eventually the readers will come. I just hope that they'll be a bit more patient and let the books go for a few months, for a year, or maybe even more than a year before they start canceling these books, because these books need to find an audience.
Yeah, definitely. There are some books that are really odd, but I think it's weird to me that the books that are the weirdest, you know, like the Frankenstein book and Animal Man to an extent. I mean, I don't think it's weird, but a lot of people are going to look at it and go, Animal Man, what the hell? And, you know, like the demon book that Paul Cornell's doing. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people are just going to kind of give it the side eye, but a lot of those books have the strongest creative teams.
And I think those books are – they have such niche audiences within the comics community, within the readership. it's, yeah. You know, and I think it's designed literally for those people to check out those books. I mean, I don't think those characters are designed for new readers. Those titles are designed for new readers. I think they're more for the old school guys who are you can kind of think it's to appease them. I don't know, or maybe they are trying to appeal for a new audience, which I think they're
trying to hit the middle line with it. I agree with your overall point that, you know, the people who they want to stick with these books are going to stick with the books, but I think there are a good handful of people who it's overwhelming and annoying and all that, and you know, it's not something I agree with, but I can understand what their issue is with it. But I think this is kind of to placate them. You know, they're bringing out these books that a lot of people have wanted to see come back. You know, everybody's wanted to see a return to form for Animal Man and Swamp Thing. And, you know, these books have a ton of potential. I think Stormwatch could be one of the biggest hits out of this.
Yeah, I think Stormwatch can be a real sleeper hit as well. Although for anyone who has read all this stuff before, like all these books before and their previous iterations, it can be a bit tough pill to swallow. I was joking earlier because what's funny is that there were interviews recently with Bob Harris, editor-in-chief of DC, and that's dumb. That sounds so weird to say that.
It's bizarre, yeah.
It is bizarre. And he's editor-in-chief of DC and said a lot of the stuff, like all the stuff that's been happening in the last few years, like Blackest Night, Identity Crisis, that stuff, it all happened. And if you think about how that all happened and then you're thinking, like, wait, what about all this stuff? How can you explain this? It really kind of drives you nuts if you're an old school reader. I think it would have been better off if it was a clean break from the previous continuity, or you know, if it's something you just did not address until the books really got going, and you know,
because that would definitely be the smart move.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't address that, they just kept it going for a bit and wait till people start reading and then let them decide from that point on. I mean, in the end, the only continuity that matters is the continuity you put into the book as a reader. I mean, all that stuff happened because you already read that stuff. That didn't happen.
Think about all the Batman stories that have gone on. You know, there's kind of a tighter continuity with it now. But before that, Batman was kind of formless. There'd be, you know, a big thing like No Man's Land or War Games. Man, that was terrible. But you know, there'd be a thing here and there that would shake up the status quo and, you know, add a new villain, take away a villain, you know, put holes in Gotham City, whatever it was. But otherwise, you could pretty much jump into Batman anywhere and have a decent clue of what was going on,
man.
And you know, they're drifting from that, and drifting more toward that with the rest of their line. And like you were saying, I really hope that you're onto something with them hopefully staying off the continuity ticket until we get to later issues, because that'd be downright genius.
Yeah, like I said, stay away from it completely, or wait a while. Because it's you know, as far as the old school fans are concerned, like the really diehard continuity guys, you know, it's like pouring salt into the wound, you know. And if you think about it, what are they going to do? They're going to say Blackest Night happened. What are they going to do? They're going to re-release Blackest Night Special Edition when you're going to insert the members of Stormwatch in there somewhere so that they were involved in this. Okay, you'll have Voodoo in there too, and Grifter, and that's where some of the logic, that's where really some of the headaches start coming in. Are they going to be redrawing new costumes? there's all kinds of possible problems here. But you know, if they keep away from that stuff, keep away from being self-referential for at least a year, I think there's a pretty good chance things will be happening. You know, good things will happen for the line. There's a lot of great creative teams here, though. There's a lot of talented people involved, and I'm not going to say anything bad, but I'm going to say there's some questionable choices in some of the creative teams, and I'm not going to name specifics on it. Are there any particular books that you're excited about? Let's say you were to list 10 books. If you decide to pick up 10 books from this thing, what 10 books would you be into?
Huh. I can give you 10. I could probably give you more than that, but like top 10 straight away. Batman by Scott Snyder. is hopefully going to be really cool. I'm interested to see what Brian or not Brian Pulido. Oh Jesus. Craig Capullo does with the art. Because you know, I haven't seen anything of his recently, but he was doing the sketches that I've seen. The digital work that he's done looked really cool. And Snyder's got a really good track record with Batman, so that's pretty close to the top of my list. Of course, Action by Grant Morrison and Rags. That's going to be really cool if you know Morrison's any you know his track record's any indication. I've always liked Rags' art, so that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's two. Stormwatch, like we were talking about. If Paul Cornell didn't sell me on it already, Miguel Sepulveda's drawing it. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
so.
he was awesome in the Thanos Imperative. So
I didn't even realize he did that. Yeah, that is really cool art. And yeah, he's been all over the place, and I think this could be a breakout thing for him. I think it could be a breakout story for these characters. All around, it could be a really neat thing. I'm going to check out Swamp Thing, Animal Man, pretty much anything with Jeff Lemire's name on it, because that guy just can do no wrong thus far. Essex County's great. Sweet Tooth's great. His Superboy is really, really cool. He writes really good comics. I don't remember where I'm at in numbers. but Green Lantern will get a shake because I've loved the character forever. And
oh,
talking,
you.
Doing quiet, Pat. It's funny because they've lost me with the recent run because it got so swamped with the big tapestry they were trying to build. And I think John's ambition exceeded his talent a bit. So I hope the book gets a little bit more tight-knit than it was.
Yeah, that book needed to be more about Green Lantern again. Basically.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head.
Forget the other guys. I mean, those other guys are all just – he doesn't need the backup singers, you know, and he just needs to do his solo act.
Yeah, very. I think the stories could have benefited from just being Hal and Sinestro as opposed to being like this cavalcade of guest stars that really had no rhyme or reason. And that was a lot of what brought the book down. I think the new Guardians that Tony Bedard's doing could be a sleeper hit. They've got Kyle, and I don't think they've really gone into the rest of the cast, but I think that could be really cool.
Yeah, Tony Bedard is really underrated, and I think he's going to do a pretty good job. He's going to do a pretty good job writing that book. Let me go through some of the stuff that I'm digging here. I don't even know if you got to 10, but whatever.
I don't think I did, but one more quick that totally deserves a mention is the new Sergeant Rock book that Ivan Brandon's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
With Tom Derenick on art, too, and he's really versatile. He can do cool stuff, and he does cool, dark stories, so it'll be interesting to see what they do together.
Yeah, Tom Derenick has really gotten better over the years. So, yeah, definitely that book is one of my picks, actually, because it's Ivan Brandon and Sergeant Rock, man. Hopefully it's a good war comic or a good Black Ops comic. I don't know what it's going to be, but it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm picking Wonder Woman by Azzarello and Chang.
Yes, definitely. That's going to be – that has the potential – like, he's not one that you'd associate with Wonder Woman straight away. Like that was a surprise pick for me. I was interested to see where they'd go with it, but when you think about it more, it fits. That has the potential to be like one of the better books from the run, from the relaunch, I think.
Yeah, I also like, of course, Action Comics. I'm not going to say no to Morrison, and I like Rags a lot, despite him being involved in Identity Crisis. Yeah, if Rags brings his A game into this thing, into Action, I think this is going to be this is going to be a really memorable Superman. And Grant Morrison, I mean, who knows? This could match All-Star Superman for all we know. So we'll see. Another one I'm excited about is the Grifter book. Believe it or not.
Cool.
I love Nathan Edmondson. If you're not reading Who Is Jake Ellis from Image, you really should, because it's good, and he writes that book, and it's illustrated by Kafu, who was on Thunder Agents recently with Nick Spencer, and I liked his art. I mean, I wasn't feeling that book, but I really liked his art a lot. All-Star Western is Justin Gray, Jimmy Palmiotti, and Moritat. I mean, come on, Moritat.
I didn't know Morita was drawing that. That's drawing really
that.
Cool.
That book is going to be so badass, dude. It's going to be that. It's going to. I think
that is very, very cool.
I think that thing is that book is going to steal the show, in my opinion. That I think that's going to be the breakthrough book. It's going to be tough, but I honestly believe that book is going to be something great. Stormwatch is also one of my picks by Paul Cornell and Miguel Sepulveda. And come on, the only thing that kind of weirds me out is why does the Midnighter have a chin spike? What's the chin spike for? But what? You got a problem with the chin spike? I can imagine.
Or now I'm looking at it, and I'm not going to be able to unsee it. Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's there. It's blatant, and it's right there. I can imagine someone puts him in a headlock position or something. He could escape with using that spike. Or he could, instead of headbutting people, he chin butts them. I don't know. But yes, the Midnighter has a chin spike. You should check out that cover for what I'm talking about. Next one is, you know what? I want to read Voodoo. By Ron Mars and Sammy Basri. I think Basri is a really great artist. He was drawing Power Girl recently. And I like Ron Mars. He's been able to turn a book like Witchblade into a really readable book. So I think I'm going to give that a shot. Resurrection really cool. Man? What's that?
Oh, not to interrupt you, but really cool book that Sammy Basri did before his DC. I'm not sure. Their DC work... was Fallout Toy Works over at Image.
I didn't know that was him. Yeah, of course.
It was plotted by the Fallout Boy guys, and it shouldn't have been good, but they got Brett Lewis to script it, and we love Brett Lewis because he wrote Winter Men, and he makes really good comics, and that's one of those that fell under a lot of people's radar, but it's weird, and it's crazy, and there are tons of explosions and weird stuff, and I highly recommend it to everybody listening.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about that next time we do another Hidden Gems episode, which will be coming sometime soon. Yes, exactly.
Talk about Resurrection Man.
Yes, Resurrection Man is my eighth book. Jesus, eight books already. And I haven't even made it to the top 20. Like I'm counting from the bottom. And this is, of course, by Andy Lanning and Dan Abnett. And I've never heard of Fernando Dagnino, but, you know, it's Resurrection Man. I love that book in its first iteration way back in the late 90s, and I'm glad that it's back. And then Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. And that's by Jeff Lemire and Alberto Ponicelli. Lemire, you've heard of from, you know, as Adam, you talked about earlier. What the hell am I saying? As you mentioned earlier, Lemire is fantastic. He has really come into his own as a great writer, and I think he's capable of amazing things. I think he's going to do some fun stuff with Frankenstein. Of course, I've been a big fan of Alberto Ponicelli because Ponicelli was the illustrator behind most of Unknown Soldier that Joshua Dysart written Vertigo book. I love that book, and I'm still sad that book is gone. But it's nice to see Ponicelli's getting more work in the aftermath of that cancellation. And my number 10 book is Demon Knight by Paul Cornell and Diogenes Neves and Eau Claire Albert. That's strange names. Demon Knight is number 10. And like I said, I could pick more, but those 10 are like my first picks. And such a solid lineup. And there's so many different – they're exploring all these different genres and they're – you know – and actually like over, in addition to this, there's just more Batman stuff and more Superman stuff and more Green Lantern stuff. And you can pick or choose from that point. But yeah, those are the books I'm really looking forward to. But that Western book though, I mean I was sold with Jimmy and Justin, but Moritat – it's over.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Mortat's gonna be drawn. That is gonna be a fantastic comic. That originally was not on my list, but I'm gonna have to check that out Mortat is amazing. I'm surprised. Has he done much DC or Marvel work prior to this?
He's been doing Spirit, the Spirits.
Yeah,
stuff.
Spirit.
He's been doing. Not really much Marvel stuff, but more DC stuff. And you know what? That's it's all good.
Yep.
Good comics are good comics. But yeah, like I said, very intriguing lineup. There's some stuff that made me go, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And, like some books, like some of the redesigns, I think are very strange. And again, it's more a redesign thing. I mean, I like a lot of the characters pretty much kept a lot of the things that kept them iconic. But for example, the Superman redesign, at least in the George Perez and the Jesus Marino book, he looks like he's wearing a suit of armor. And really, Superman doesn't need a suit of armor.
Yeah, that's a pretty that's about as simple as it can get. Yeah, you're totally right about that. On the good side, though, I like what they did the very subtly, but they changed up the Flash suit a little bit.
They changed it up a bit, cool. and it's not distracting. That makes you question. It still retains the iconic qualities of that costume.
Yeah. And the kid Flash costume in Teen Titans is really neat too.
The kid Flash. Oh man. Teen Titans, man. That
I'm a sucker for goggles. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Goggles are fine, but I haven't seen the Kid Flash costume up front, so I can't really say for sure. But Superboy leaves much to be desired.
Oh yes.
And Red Robin looks like the Falcon. It's like it looks.
Holy crap! He does.
It looks like the
wow.
It looks like Nightwing stole the Falcon's costume and is strapped on the Red Robin logo on his shoulder. And I think I don't know. I don't think he needs to fly. But again, we'll read it. We'll see what happens. I don't really want to hate on anything. But there's just something about some of these costumes that just seem false for the character. You know.
Yeah.
Cassie Sandsmark's new Wonder Girl costume, I think, kind of works, although it doesn't scream Wonder Girl. She looks more like the Magdalena, but with more exposed skin.
Wow.
You see it though, right?
No, definitely, definitely. I'm really disappointed they redesigned Deadshot's costume the way they did. I mean, it's kind of obscured from that cover, but like that's such a cool looking costume. It's got such a smooth look to it. It's no frills.
Yeah,
and they're like, yeah, here's some random chunks and electronic shit all over it. And it's like, oh, this doesn't make any sense.
He looks very much like a robot. He's like an anime type of thing, character, robot, whatever.
Yeah, the costume's bulky, and that doesn't make any sense for – I mean, not to be nitpicky, but, dude's an assassin. He needs to move around. He needs to be stealthy, and he had basically like a stealth suit.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Harley Quinn, which let's preface this by saying this. DC really made an effort to clean up the costumes of all their women, their female characters. And, there's a lot of lots of girls in pants. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I think, if you're trying to appeal to a bigger audience, you got to dress up these characters, right? Make them look a bit more respectable. And, they don't all have to look like sex pots. They can be sexy with the way they act or whatever, But then you get to Harley Quinn. And it looks like she lost more clothes. Like, she was probably the most clothed one out of all of them. Now she's barely clothed. And it kind of goes – it's kind of anti-whatever they were doing with the other costumes. I mean, even Poison Ivy wears pants. And here's Harley.
Yeah, it's disappointing in the sense that it looks like they
– She looks like Monica.
Yeah, you can't really judge it by its cover. I really hope the content is different. But it seems like – they could have just like called her badass McShooty chick, and that would have been truer to what she, it's like there's nothing Harlequinish about that costume. There's nothing resemblant to the original character.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna get into it any further because I don't want to get negative. That costume though, they really need to rethink that. Hopefully, it's not final because there's talk of it not being final, and I can get down with that. Some costumes, I think I feel like they kind of overcomplicated some of the designs, and there's really no purpose to them because they kind of remove some of what makes some of the characters great. I mean, there are characters like Deathstroke, who I think got an improvement, an upgrade as far as costumes go, because his previous costume really is not that good. Gone are the Buccaneer boots. Now he's got, he's got armor, which makes sense considering his line of work, but. still. I like they kept the Blue Beetle the way he is, which I am in complete agreement with, because that character is really getting over and getting a bigger audience thanks to cartoons, and he looks cool that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
They kept Booster Gold kind of the same way it was. All the JLA guys stayed pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Wonder Woman costume is really cool.
Yeah, I like that Wonder Woman costume. Like I said, it's nice that they're kind of modernizing the women, and they're not all wearing, you know, they're not all half naked or whatever. And that's good, because, you know, you want to gain new readers. You want to be able to go to a comic book store or a newsstand and be able to pick up a comic book and not be embarrassed by the cover. And except for Harley Quinn, everything looks perfectly fine. Then let's kind of talk a bit more about some of the more controversial aspects of this reboot, particularly a certain redhead who is always somehow walking again.
Yeah, that's not a great idea. at least in my opinion, because at least on my side, I think Oracle's a more interesting character.
Yeah, Oracle, I think so too. But to play devil's advocate, though, I guess more people just know Batgirl as, you know, Barbara Gordon, and that's why you want to try and sell a book starring Batgirl. You want to have the right that character in there. Like I said, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Not saying I agree with it, but I'm just thinking in
right
DC's mindset here. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. But
yeah, that's the image people know from the cartoon and things like that. And that's still, you know, for a lot of people, the definitive image of Batman and the family and all that. So a lot of people just associate Jim Gordon and Barbara Gordon and all that together, and it's Batgirl.
Yes.
But to advocate another devil, I mean, they really got a strong reader base with the Brian Q. Miller relaunch of Batgirl that they didn't expect. And he's been doing really cool things over there. And I think that was a book that should have kept its status quo, because they took a character that a lot of people hated with Stephanie Brown and turned her into a really interesting character under the Batgirl costume.
Yeah, and I've been buying that book. That's one of the few DC books I still buy, and I love that book. It's a lot of fun. I like the relationship between Stephanie and Barbara, because Barbara's
kind
of her mentor. And it's really a shame that, you know, they're going to undo all that. And again, that book is fairly young too, you know.
Yeah.
So you could just reboot it with a number one, and then you don't even have to explain. You don't even have to talk about how you know the reason why Barbara is in a wheelchair or whatever. They could just say that that's her mentor. She used to be a Batgirl. You don't even have to mention anything about the Killing Joke or all that stuff. You could just have things go as they were. And not reference heavy continuity and still have a successful relaunch. But I don't know. I think they jumped the gun a bit here, and they could have given that book more time or something. Because it's getting a lot of positive buzz, and it should have been left alone. Maybe just a restart with a number one, but you didn't need to muck with the continuity.
They're doing the mini series that's going to come out of Batman Inc. You know, the Batman Leviathan that's going to happen. I think, in December, somewhere thereabouts. So I think they might be planning to do that with a couple of titles, because they hinted at that strongly. So hopefully Batgirl's one of those, because that story deserves an end.
Yeah. At the same time, though, it's kind of difficult that that DC has to appease two masters. You know, they're trying to appease new, you know, get new readers in, and trying to appease old fans.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, they're just diluting everything that they already that they're starting. All the good work that they're trying to put into this relaunch is getting diluted with all the continuity stuff that really they could have just left behind. And as we've talked about earlier, the continuity thing is really the biggest problem that they have, because they don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, there's too much juggling going on.
Yeah, and I've been hearing about all kinds of miscommunications and miscues about but the books lasting a certain time. Like, I mean, if you read their letters pages or editor pages in the DC, in some of the DC books, and, you know, like, a lot of them are making reference to a book to, read this issue in December to answer your questions, blah, blah, blah. But then you realize, wait, there is none of these books are coming out in December because they're getting relaunched or canned or whatever. So there's that. And I can't help but wonder if, like, how many people are, were left hanging with this thing. And on that note, also, how many creators didn't know that the book was going to end until later on? Because just judging by how people are reacting on Twitter, some creators are like, we're clueless. And I think that's kind of messed up.
Yeah, it's really a shame. I know with Gotham City Siren, another thing that gets complained about, kind of like the Batgirl situation, is with Gotham City Sirens, they were doing a lot of work with Selina Kyle. And now, you know, turning her into a deeper character. Now, like, the solicitation for Judd Winnick's first issue of Catwoman is like, you know, she's distracted by shiny things and she likes to kick the hell out of losers. And it's like, whoa, wait, what? This is kind of not what what it was about. But I think it's got potential. I hope it could be a good book. It sounds like he wants to go closer to what Ed Brubaker was doing with it. But, you know, again, it's another situation where you're throwing out a lot of what was making people like the stories, and that's why I brought up the idea that they were alienating some of the reader base.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think we're talking on internet terms, though. I mean, the thing about internet fans, unfortunately,
it's not the full representation.
It's not a full representation thing, and there could be a very, like, you know, it could be the most vocal minority of fans there. But, you know, they are. You certainly should take them into account because they are part of your bottom line. But, you know, if you just, and unfortunately, you can't trust it too much either.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of difficult to think about this particular relaunch until it actually starts. But it's always interesting to kind of figure out where it could possibly go. I mean, what happens if this? I mean, how many of these titles will make it to? Because they're 52 first issues. How many of these books will make it to 52 issues? That's
how many? How many of these will make it to 6 issues? Let's be honest here. You know, I hope the books get a fair shake. I'd like to see each of them get a year.
I agree. I really hope that this does well for DC because, you know what, it's a very positive thing. And
it's a huge move. They announced too that there's going to be a huge TV campaign behind it too. They're going to advertise on television. They're going to advertise before movies and stuff like that.
Oh, good. That they're putting that Warner Brothers money to good use. That's fantastic. Definitely. I am disappointed that, you know, there have been I don't know if it had any direct effect on this, but I found out, like, you know, around the same time all these announcements are coming out, Northlanders got canceled. That's a Vertigo book, and I'm like, oh.
It's not fair, DC. It's not fair at all.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, so I'm not going to say anything, but I'm just like, man, really? This has nothing to do with that line.
But I know. Brian Wood doing the work of his life. Yeah. Really cool book.
Yeah, I love that book. Man, whatever. Man, anyway, enough of the Northlanders sadness. Because I love that book, man. Issue 41 came out today, and I love that book. So good. Probably the best thing that Brian Wood has been doing for a long time now. As far as the... man. So what... We've been talking about how these books could possibly last, and I'm trying to figure out which. Out of all of them, I think Justice League and of course the main Batman, Green Lantern, and Superman books will be the ones which will survive the test of time just because of who they are. But man, I'm worried.
There are a lot of these that people are just like, who are these people that are writing it? Who are these characters? Like, there was a CBR poll that was really depressing where...
Yeah, I saw that.
That was just sad. And that's another situation where I'm glad it's only a small representation of the reader base. Because a lot of these books deserve a shot they're not going to get. You know, I think a lot of DC readers are closed-minded. It's a case of they're not willing to give new stuff a shot. They just want their straight superhero books, and they don't want, you know, they're not interested in a challenge in terms of, you know, something else they might get into. And a lot of this is going to fall on the retailers, which, you know, depending on which way you fall, could be a good or a bad thing. But
Yeah, the retailers are pretty much going to be the world. This is all in their hands, honestly, because you can't really rely on the pre-ordering thing for this, because this is a different kind of undertaking than just a typical, you know, book launch. You know, this is a line-wide thing, and if the readers, I mean, if the retailers are not on board on this thing, not for all the books, it's going to be really tough for DC to handle keeping the books going. Although I did hear that the books are going to be fully returnable. So there is, you know, it might encourage them to take more risks.
Yeah, that's
is,
cool.
Which is, I think, is a positive. I'm just worried that, you know, as time goes on, if the retailing community will continue to support these books and they'll give it time and push them to, you know, for people. Also, on that same thought, I wonder if there's, you know how, you know, there's no Comics Code anymore, and I wonder if they're going to be doing any kind of rating system, or are these going to be all ages? I don't think that has ever been answered or mentioned, I think.
You know, they said something about reverting to a system kind of like Marvel's. This was a while back. This was actually before the relaunch was announced. Mm. So I'm not sure what the status of it is, but they were talking about going to a, you know, rating system that kind of resembles video games and Marvel's system. So mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, they're going to have to keep a watch on that, because I mean, you've got books like Suicide Squad, which obviously aren't going to be kid friendly in the least, unless they've got, you know, they've got something serious planned that we don't know about. But, you know, yeah, that's one of the things they're going to have to regulate, because our retailers are going to have to keep a super watchful eye on that. And at the end of the day, if a kid comes up with his $3 or $4 or whatever it might be, they're going to sell him the book.
Oh, yeah. They don't care. But hopefully it'll work out for the I guess for all parties, really. I'm excited, and I'm very, I'm optimistic about this whole thing. At the same time, I'm kind of scared because of, like I said, it is a big risk, and retailers are the ones who are making the biggest risk here, purchasing this stuff. Because, I mean, in the end, if this fails, DC, they're still a Warner Brothers company. They still have all that money behind them. Any retailer who messes this up, I mean, they can put a huge risk ordering everything. And then it might not pay off for them in some form or another. So hopefully it works for them. But again, time will tell. And, you know, September is going to be a very interesting month.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess it'd be really – was there anything else that you wanted to cover with regards to this, or –
No, you're right on that it's a big move, it's a bold move, and I totally agree with you that it is what they needed, because since after Identity Crisis, the DCU's been really hard to get into. I jumped in when Green Lantern Rebirth was happening, when Identity Crisis was happening, when Geoff Johns' Flash was running, and that, but you know, those were just a bunch of books that you could get into. You could jump into it with no knowledge of what was going on before, and it led you through and taught you what you needed to know, and really got you into the characters. That was when I started reading DC books. I was a big time Marvel kid before those books, and turned into a more heavy DC reader. And I think this is a chance for them to really recapture that, because their books were critically acclaimed. They were making tons of money from the sales of them, and that was a time when they were really doing some of their best stuff. And I really hope they go back to that, because this has a lot of chance to do that. So it's exciting, like you said. It really is interesting to see. It'll be very interesting to see how which way they go with it.
Yeah, and so they're trying to appeal to a very broad audience with these new books. I mean, you have books that are clearly designed for female readership, which is always good. They have books that are designed for the hardcore guys, who are, you know, like the guys who will always buy the books no matter what. And you have books that are really with concepts that really could appeal to like a sci-fi or a war or whatever kind of fan, you know?
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to get the gamer market. Mm-hmm. Because it's Sergeant Rock, for example. You know, I think the book's just called Men at War, but it really looks like a Call of Duty advertisement. I mean, not that that's a bad thing. I think it's mainly marketing, but it's a really good idea. That's the sort of people they're going after. The sort of people who are like, oh, that's an image that appeals to, you know, what I'm used to, what I like. You know, I don't necessarily pick up comics, or I might, you know, pick up one or two comics a month. This is something I can dig on. You know, hopefully it pays off for them.
Yeah. again, if you were looking to pick up some DC stuff, or actually if you want to learn more about the DC reboot, there's plenty of information online, but I recommend you check out there's some really good articles over at Comic Book Resources and iFanboy. And there's some great interviews, you know, with Bob Harris, editor-in-chief. And that still sounds so weird.
Yes, it does.
I cannot believe how much, what a weird world this comics industry is, because this happens. And again, like about a decade ago, over a decade ago, rather, the one of Marvel's most prominent writers behind the X-Books is Scott Lobdell, and here he is now, aside from Geoff Johns, he probably has the most books in this relaunch, which I find very strange again. But yeah, if you like what you've been hearing, and if you like listening to our interviews and our other podcasts, be sure to drop us a line on iTunes and give us a nice review, because it would be greatly appreciated. Adam, you can be found on twitter.com/AdamWitt.
Yes, I can, and adamwitt.tumblr.com.
Yes, a Tumblr blog for Adam Witt. There will be a link in the show notes. And of course, if you are looking to pick up some trades or some of our recommendations, be sure to check out cheapgraphicnovels.com, our friends, and get a good discount. DC and Marvel books, 45% off. Dark Horse books, 42% off. All kinds of good stuff for cheap, and you like cheap. And, of course, everything Pat Loika can be found at patloika.com or comicbooknoise.com/loikamania. And once again, thank you all for listening, and be sure to drop us a line and enjoy your comics.